Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you all here this morning. So I just want to kind of point out that it is Memorial Day weekend, and so we recognize those who have served and given their lives for our country, and we're very grateful and thankful for them. We kind of end our series on a very fitting topic as we talk about serving one another. And so it's not about me. It's about loving God and loving people. And so that's what we're closing with here this morning. Christians need to look outward more often. And so let me take us once again to our theme verse, Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 34 and following. It says this, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked the question to test him, 'Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" And so Jesus answers this question with, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul." Mason talked about that to kick off our series, that all of our affection, all of our attention, all of our allegiance should go to God and God alone. But as we do that, we begin to see that life is not about me, and we begin to look outward, and we begin to love people. And so then we looked last week with Gary Toler, talking about loving each other in the church, right? Having fellowship, deepening our relationship with each other. Fellowship, a deeper connection with members and other people in the church. And today we look outward to outside the church and even within the church and talk about serving one another and serving people. Loving our neighbors through our actions and seeking to make an eternal impact on the lives around us. So let me just start with a word of prayer. God, we come before you grateful for this opportunity to just come here together and worship you. God, we are here for you. So let us cast aside any distraction, anything that would take our focus off of you as we open up our hearts and minds to what you'll have to speak to us this morning. God, challenge us, and may we act upon that as we live for you. So in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So I remember my first time that I had the opportunity to go out and to serve, or rather the first time I intentionally went out to serve. I was in the seventh grade, and we went to Wichita, Kansas. And remember, I'm from Oklahoma, so Wichita, Kansas was only about 2 hours from us. But we went up there to serve in a homeless shelter. And we had the opportunity to feed the homeless, to stock the shelter. After we got done feeding them and they went through the line, we would take a plate and we would go down and we'd sit with them and get a chance to talk to them. We slept on the floor of a church, and that was my first experience with serving intentionally. And I just remember that little three-day experience reshaping my mind and beginning to see that the world was bigger than just me, that there were people all around in need of a Savior. And I remember praying as the trip ended, "Lord, help me to take what I've learned here. Help me to understand that as I go back home." And so I went back home and continued to try and seek out opportunities to serve. And so we need to be intentional about looking for opportunities to serve God and to serve others. But I want us to remember something as we get ready to dive into the scripture behind it. We are ordinary people, but we serve an amazing God. And that's what makes the difference. And I think if we recognize and if we understand that, it challenges us and encourages us to get up and serve. Because it's not the other way around. We're not extraordinary people necessarily, right? We don't have everything in the world to offer other people. And so it's their benefit that I'm serving, not necessarily. And it's not the flip side of that, right? I have absolutely nothing to offer. We'll look at that. That's not it. What we are is we're ordinary people, but we've been gifted and we've been empowered through an amazing God to serve. And that's what makes a difference. And so that's what we're going to kind of focus on. It's not about us. It's about God who chooses to use you and me in ways to reach more people with the gospel and love of Christ. So we're going to open up here with John chapter 12, or excuse me, chapter 13, verse 12, which says this: when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you." So here he is, the King of Kings, takes out his cloak, wraps it around his waist, and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. He takes on this form of a low servant and humbles himself in order to serve his fellow disciples. And what we see from this is why we should serve, is that we've been given the example in Christ to serve. Christ has set the example for us to serve one another by doing this, by washing his disciples' feet. You guys obviously know it doesn't end there. In Matthew chapter 26, or chapter 20, verse 26, it says this. It says, "On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus, the King of Kings, took on the role of a low servant to wash the feet of his disciples. He then went on to die in the place of sinners, in the place of you and me. He served to the point of sacrificing his life, and if he can do that, the least we can do is serve him by serving one another. And so Jesus has set up the example for us. And sometimes we go to Scripture and we see that Jesus has the example, and we have this kind of reaction to it, as one of the kids did. A mother was preparing pancakes for her two sons, and the boys began to argue over who was going to get the first pancake, all right? Mom saw this as an opportunity to teach a lesson, so she says, "You know what? If Jesus were sitting there, he would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait.'" So Kevin, the older brother, turns to Ryan, his younger brother, and says, "Ryan, you be Jesus." And so I think sometimes we read Scripture and we see the example of Jesus and we're like, "Jesus, that's great. That's awesome that you did that." Or we even see other people begin to act like Jesus and have a Christ-like attitude. And we say, "You know what? That's awesome. You guys are acting like Christ." But somehow we struggle to apply it to our own lives. And we love it when we see other people do it, but it's hard for us to act upon. And so the first thing we have to recognize is Christ set the example for us to serve. Second, I want to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 says, "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement: love your neighbor as yourself." And so we have been set free to serve. That's the second reason why we serve, is we've been set free to have this opportunity to serve one another, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We've been set free from sin, from the bondage of sin. So if you're not a believer in here, what the Bible says is that we are dead in our sin. We are bound by our sin, all right? And so Jesus came, he died on the cross, and for those who believe, they are set free from that bondage, that penalty of their sin. And so as that happens, you have a couple different reactions that you can take to it. Number one, you can say, "You know what? I've got my fire insurance, I'm good to go," right? And that's a reaction, unfortunately, that some people have. And it's a wrong reaction. It says, no, you've been set free not to indulge in the flesh, but to serve one another. Paul reiterates this over and over again throughout his books, that just because we sin, does that magnify grace? Should we keep on sinning more? And he says, by no means, not at all. And so we are not set free just to sin. Paul says we're either a slave to sin or Satan, or we're a slave or servant of God. But likewise, he says, you know what? We're not set free just to sit on our bums either. We were set free to go and to serve one another. But I want to point out one more thing, what it means that we're set free. Because sometimes we can see, okay, Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He paid that penalty for my sins. Now I've got to pay him back. And sometimes we have this attitude about serving one another that, okay, if I go and I serve, you know, in this church ministry, I'm giving back to God. And yes, but if you're doing it with the motive that I have to pay back God for all he's done, then you're not really fully grasping what it means to be set free to serve, right? We're not set free because we have to try and earn points with God. We're not set free. We don't have to try and win God over by serving him. That wouldn't be freedom, right? He died on the cross for us as we were yet sinners. Instead, he now gives us the freedom to serve him in a variety of ways, not to earn points with him, but to simply glorify him and to make him known among everybody else. Martin Luther King Jr. was reading the story of the Good Samaritan, and his reflection, he came across this. He says, "The first question the priest and the Levite asked was, if I stopped to help this man, what would happen to me? But the Good Samaritan reversed the question. If I do not stop and help this man, what will happen to him?" And I think that's the kind of attitude we need to have in serving. It's not about me. It's not about how much time is this going to take or how much treasure or talents is this going to spend, but who is this going to impact? How can God use this to further his kingdom? How can God use this to change a life? So the question for us isn't, what do I get out of driving the van around town, picking up kids and youth? But it's, how can God use this simple act of service to help kids and youth in our community meet and experience God? It's not, what does my neighbor have to offer me by getting out and getting to know them? But rather, if I don't get out and get to know them, who would show them the love of Christ? And so it's rephrasing that question that, you know what, it's not about me. And we begin to simply love God and love people. I'll be honest, if we're sitting here in the church only because of what the church has to offer us, we're kind of missing the point. Maybe you like the music, maybe you like Josh's preaching, maybe it's a good place for your kids. But if that's the only reason we're coming to church, we're missing something that God has to offer. God wants to use you to serve in an area of the church or in an area in your neighborhood or at work, wherever it might be. God wants to use you to serve to help change lives that are around. And so we have been set free to serve, and that's what that means. We're not trying to earn points with God by serving. We're simply trying to point people to God. We have an outward focus on them. Next, we have been gifted to serve. So 1 Peter 4:10 says this. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it up on the screen there. It says, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another." Right, the focus all there is on God. Out of his great variety of spiritual gifts, he has gifted you to go and to serve others. These gifts, whether it's your singing or musical ability, your compassion and hospitality, your heart for kids, whatever it might be, these are gifts from God to be used to glorify God. So I think we have all been gifted in some way. Some of us might have to search for what that gift is or what that passion is in our life, but I think each one of us has been equipped and gifted to serve God, serve one another. God's given you the ability to do it in some way. So find your gifts and your passions. And I think that's important to do. So use where you're gifted and you'll see God magnify. You know what? If you have narcolepsy, you're probably not a good fit for the van driving ministry. Might just be a safety thing at that point. But the same person has this heart to reach out and meet new people and is just a friendly face. And you would make an excellent greeter as people walk through the door. And God's going to use that and glorify that. So use your gifts, use your passions in whatever ways. If God's given you a heart for kids, serve in the kids ministry. If God's given you the ability to work in a team, serve in our kitchen ministry. They're always looking for extra help as well. And so there are ways and areas in our church for you to use your gifts and passions. I want to take you now to 1 Corinthians 12 as we kind of continue to explore this idea of using your gifts. Starts there in verse 4. It says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. We are unified in Christ as we use our gifts together. And so there are different gifts within the church. There are different ministries within the church. But as we come together with the same purpose, that we would glorify God and make him known, then we are unified in those gifts. Different activities, but the same God in which we are serving through them. So the church should be full of diverse people, right? Different backgrounds, different economic statuses, different gifts. The church should be made up of diversity. But at the same time, we are unified in the purpose. So we don't all look the same, don't even all act completely the same, but we're unified in making God known and glorifying him. And that's the key. And so he starts this out there in 1 Corinthians 4:7 with that thought. Then he continues the thought in verse 12. For just as the body is one and in many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts of the body just as he wanted. And if there were all the same parts, where would the body be? And so he goes on to say that there is diversity, that we were given different functions and different roles and different gifts to serve together as one body of Christ. Every gift, every unique talent in the church, I believe, is needed, and every person is needed. One person can't say, you know what, I'm not valuable because I can't sing. Well, you have another gift in which you can take part. We are made up of a variety of different gifts and talents and treasures that we can turn back to God. And so 1 Corinthians 12 continues with this in verse 20, just to finish the thought. As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that are we consider less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. I think too many of our churches are operating right now without hands and without arms and without eyes because people are stuck. Or because they haven't seen how they can be how their gifts can be used in the church, or they haven't been equipped, or there hasn't been a place, or they haven't felt the need to step in and serve. I pray that opposite is true for our church. I pray that we as a staff have to find new ministries and new ways because we're overflowing with people who are ready to step up and serve one another and to reach out and to bring people to Christ. So let me kind of recap here. Why do we serve? Well, Jesus set the example for us. We've been given the example in Christ to serve. Let us not push that example off on, okay, that's good, let this person do it. But let's take that responsibility on ourselves to follow after Christ, to be like Christ. We have been set free to serve, and everything that means, we're not trying to earn points. But we can serve one another in love without any restrictions or reservations. We go out and we serve God because God gave it all for us. And we've been gifted to serve. God doesn't just say, go out and serve, but he equips each one of us to serve with our passions and our talents and our gifts that he has given us. But how do we serve? That's why. We understand why, but now how? Number one, use your gifts. Yeah, go ahead, Micah. Use your gifts, all right? We just talked about that, all right? You've been gifted to serve, so use them. Keep the kingdom in mind. We've been set free that we don't have to worry. It's not about me and trying to earn points or earn favor with anybody or with God. We can keep the kingdom in mind. We can go out knowing that as we serve people, we are making an impact on the lives around us because we're ordinary people, but we serve an extraordinary and amazing God. And finally, love. And I kind of want to land on this topic, right? The whole law is summed up in these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 continues with this. And these are just a few verses after what we just read. It says, if I speak human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all of my possessions and I give over my body in order that it may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is the key driving force behind our serving. Love God, love people. Love God, love others. Just to kind of rephrase that maybe in modern tongue, if I come to church for 50 years but have not loved, I've missed the point. If I serve in a ministry, an area of the church that was needed but did not care for the people around me, I did not show love, I've gained nothing. If I stand up here, or if Josh stands up here, or anybody stands up here and preach but do not have love, we're just a noisy sound, a ringing in somebody's ear. And so love is the key driving force behind what we do. Gordon Fee actually puts it this way. It's more than a motivating factor. He says, love is primary for Paul because it has already been given concrete expression in the coming of Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the world. Love is not an idea for Paul. It's not even the motivating factor. It is behavior. To love is to act. And anything short of action is not love at all. And so that's my prayer and that's my encouragement to you guys this morning is that we would move in action to serve one another. As a church, we're going to set up opportunities for you to serve and to use your gifts here, but it's not limited to the church. Serve one another in your small groups. Serve one another in your neighborhoods with people who don't know Christ. Serve one another at work. There's opportunities all around us to serve others. So I want to share this story as we kind of begin to close. A number of years back, a young, very successful executive was traveling down a suburb street in his brand new black Jaguar. Suddenly, a brick was thrown from the sidewalk and hit the side of the car. Brakes slammed, gears went into reverse, and tires spun madly as the Jaguar went back to the spot the brick had been thrown. The driver jumped out, grabbed the kid who threw the brick, and pushed him up against the car and said, "What was that all about?" he screamed. "That's my new Jag. That brick that you just threw is going to cost you a lot of money." "Please, mister, please, I'm sorry. I didn't know what else to do," said the boy. "I threw the brick because nobody else would stop." Tears were dripping down his chin as he pointed around the parked car. "It's my brother, mister. He rolled off the curb, fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him up." Sobbing, the boy asked the executive, "Would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's hurt and too heavy for me." The mood was transformed in a moment by the young executive as he realized what had just occurred. He lifted the young man into the wheelchair. He took out his handkerchief and began to wipe away the scrapes and cuts. He then watched as the younger brother pushed him down the sidewalk and towards their home. The young exec never did fix the dented side door of his Jaguar. He kept the dent there to remind him not to go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at him to get his attention to slow down. And so we've kind of addressed two things. Number one, maybe I don't serve because I don't feel like I'm gifted, or I don't feel like I have anything to offer. Hopefully we've addressed that, and we understand that we are ordinary people, but God has given us gifts, and we serve an extraordinary and amazing God to be able to serve him. He's going to use us in a willing heart. Maybe another thing that we've had that come through our mind is, you know what, I've got to serve because I've got to earn these points to pay back God for all that he's done for us. And we realize that we've been set free and what that means to serve in freedom. But there's one more thing. Sometimes we go through life and we say, you know what, I've got all this going on and all that going on. I've got family. I've got my kids in sports. I've got all this going on. I just don't have time to give. I don't have any more talents to give or treasure or time to give. And we need to be reminded just to slow down, that there are more important things in life, mainly speaking of eternity, and God himself, that we need to slow down and ask God, what are the things that I'm doing making eternal impact on the lives around me? Am I pointing people to you? Am I glorifying you and making you known? And so sometimes we just need to slow down and ask that question. And maybe you're in that boat today. So I thought that story was fitting for some of us in here. And so use your gifts. Keep the kingdom in mind. We are free to serve so that we might make him known, and love others. Love is the key behavior behind any action. It is action. And so as I wrap things up here, as the youth come up to wrap up this last song, in your bulletin, if you grabbed a bulletin, I want you to grab this handout that was inside. It simply says, get involved. And so you might see that inside your bulletin. If you didn't grab a bulletin, maybe use the Connect card in front of you. excuse me. But this has a different a list of opportunities, and we as a church are going to provide opportunities for you to serve, for you to use your gifts. And so these are just a handful of opportunities that you can get plugged in and begin serving here shortly. There's a spot down underneath for other, maybe if you have another idea. That you can write it down. If you don't have one of these from the bulletin, I'm just going to read off the options real quick so that maybe you can write it on a Connect card if you feel led to get plugged in or find out more info about one of these areas. In the worship service, what we do right now, there's greeting, there's an usher, there's audio video team, and there's music. In children and youth, any of these would require a background check. But these are nursery and toddlers on Sunday mornings, children's church on Sunday mornings, being a van driver and rider on Sundays or Wednesdays. Vacation Bible School is a huge outreach that we do to reach out to our community for a few days over the summer. And then Awanas and youth programs, other children's and youth programs. Just for our church and community, there's the kitchen crew. I know the kitchen ladies are looking for another team to step up and kind of take over the second Sunday gatherings. And so maybe you're interested in stepping up there. There's setup and tear down. There's maintenance with facilities or vans, landscaping, handyman ministry, homeless ministry, and of course other. And so we challenge you to pray over that here in the next minute. And just ask God, what am I gifted to serve? Where am I passionate about serving? And is there an area that maybe we are called to step up and serve here in the church? And again, that other section, because we realize that some of you guys are called to serve your neighbors, or we're all called to serve our neighbors and to love people, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so the band's going to sing a song, Build My Life, and we are building our life on the love of Christ, and we are led in that love to then go and serve others and make him known. So the altar's open. I'm going to challenge you guys to bring these forward and just lay them down at the altar. Val and I will be up here to talk if you'd like to grab one of us, but just during this song, if you would pray, fill one of these out and just lay it here at the steps of the cross and just say, you know what, God, we are here to serve you and to make you known and to glorify you. That's my prayer. So I'm going to pray and then You guys will sing. God, thank you so much for today. God, as we are challenged to serve others, as we're challenged to serve one another in love, Lord, we pray that it would fall upon humble hearts who are just ready to live for you. Not because we have to earn points or favors, but God, because we have been set free to serve. Help us to understand exactly what that means. And during this time of invitation, Lord, we pray if there's anybody here who needs to know about Christ, that they would grab a neighbor, or they'd come up and talk to Val or I, or they'd fill out a Connect card, whatever it might be, and take that step to know you as their Lord and Savior. God, we love you and praise you, and we build our life upon your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you. The only one that could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those.